Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time to go up to Tallahassee, where the Seminoles are 1-1, and certainly playing great in the first half, both games in the opener against Boise and then last week. And I know there's a lot of fans around, not just in South Florida, not in just Tallahassee, or kind of on the ledge, but somebody who is always good at talking people off the ledge, Chris Nee from Knowles247, kind enough to join us this evening. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, Blue. How are you, Blue?
Good. I'm doing well. Obviously, this has been a FSU team that's tough to figure out. You know as well as I do, they have a lot of talent. And certainly a lot of things haven't fallen into place for four quarters in each of the games. Let's talk about last week. We know what happened in Boise, and we saw that game. But last week was kind of intriguing, watching the game, taking nothing away from the opponent. But you know how fans are, and they want the jugular, and they want the jugular quick and often and 60 points, and that just hasn't happened. Talk about this team, the way you look at it.
I mean, the offense has been good. I wouldn't describe it as great. It's had some issues, especially with turnovers and stalling out in the third quarter. James Blackman's been really good in the first quarter of games. He's been good in the first half. He's struggled mightily in the third quarter, and he was pretty good actually closing out the ULM game after struggling in the third quarter. So I'm not overall pretty worried about the offense. I think it's in the right direction. They're running the ball very effectively. They've got a ton of receiver talent that they can distribute it to. They're hiding the O-line, which has some deficiencies, pretty well with the play calling and what they're doing. And the O-line's been good enough to help the running game go, which was a big issue last year where they couldn't get the ground game going. Right. What I think is the concern is the defense. They've allowed 40 points per game so far through two games. Teams are averaging about 200 on the ground, 325 through the year. They just can't survive that. And when you give teams extra at-bats like FSU did against Louisiana Monroe, it allows them to hang around in a game where they really shouldn't have hung around. FSU was sitting there in the second and the third quarter with a chance to put ULM away, and they just didn't. And then all of a sudden they find themselves trailing on the scoreboard in the fourth quarter and having to come from behind. And I don't think that game was ready to end, truthfully. If not for that missed kick, that was going to keep going because FSU's defense had reached a point where it simply was not stopping the Warhawks.
What is it going to take? I mean, defensively, and I see, and you know the names on the back of those jerseys. I mean, you know them well, and you've seen them perform, but something's not meshing. Something, there's not that playmaker that's not, you know, that they've had in the past, the Ramseys, the guys of that nature who would stop the bleeding quick with a pick or with a sack, Burns with a sack, or a linebacker like Bradford or Bradwell, or somebody who has been there in the past that, you know, even though there have been some deficiencies and some youth on the defensive unit, there's always been that one or two guy to just come up and just stop that bleeding quick. They have it, but they haven't had that person step up. Is there something that we haven't seen yet, or are there players maybe underperforming that should be performing at a higher level?
Well, the linebackers have been dreadful. They're misaligned, gap control has been really bad, they're not finishing plays, they're not getting off blocks. They've been, among many weaknesses, the biggest for the FSU defense. Marvin Wilson's been the best player for FSU's defense. That's no surprise. He's a guy you would have picked going in the preseason. But they haven't gotten a whole lot of great pressure off the edge. Against Boise, they were able to generate some with some unique looks and some different packages and blitz packages. But it wasn't anything that was natural because of, an edge rusher or a defensive end type. They weren't getting that kind of pressure. And then against ULM, they were not really able to generate any pressure. They had one sack and two tackles for loss as a team in that game. Right. And when you can't get home and quarterbacks are able to kind of sit there and have their time, your secondary can be super talented, which FSU has a lot of depth and talent in their secondary. But they're going to look real bad when the quarterback is able to sit back there and just take his sweet time. If he's able to deliver at all, he's going to have success. But I think for FSU's defense to start trending in the right direction, it starts with the linebackers. They have to get better play from that group. Dontavius Jackson's a senior, and he's played quite dreadful, to be perfectly honest. Jaden Lars Woodby was moved from the back half of the defense in the secondary to the linebacker group. he still needs to take a step forward as a linebacker. He looks a little uncomfortable with his new role. So I think it starts there, but they have a lot of issues at all three levels. The edge rush isn't very good. The linebackers are struggling, and the secondary hasn't looked good, which I think is somewhat due in part to the edge rush being limited.
Yeah, no doubt. Chris Neat joining us, Knowles 247. One thing that I notice is the upcoming six games. I mean, ACC games ranging from NC State to Clemson to Wake Forest to Virginia. These are teams that all are going to be hungry. They're going to be hungry whether they come in the Doak or whether they're at home. What now? This is where you go into to a different mode, because you can't play like this, like you have in the first two games against ACC opponents, especially when you play a Clemson, the number one team in the country, who would like nothing better to embarrass them, the NC States of the world, who have always played them well. Talk about this stretch run, because this is a really, really important stretch run for the morale of this team, if nothing else.
Yeah, no doubt. They are at UVA this Saturday night, and then they come back home to host Louisville and NC State before a bye week that followed with a trip to Clemson. So we're going to know exactly who they are after those four games. But truthfully, I think the UVA game is going to tell us everything we need to know. UVA is a fairly hungry bunch. It's kind of out to prove that they are finally ready to be big time in the Coastal and compete for the Coastal Crown. Bronco Mendenhall has some familiarity with FSU, having faced them twice at BYU.
Right.
And UVA is just a real physical, mean bunch on defense. And offensively, Bryce Perkins is a real special, talented, dual-threat quarterback. And they also have some good running back talent and wide receiver talent. So it's one of those games where if FSU doesn't show up and want to play hard and kind of gets punched in the mouth and doesn't handle it very well, UVA can run them off the field. And FSU is still kind of a mentally fragile bunch. They're not very good at handling adversity. And UVA, I think, has a lot of setup to either show that they're ready to turn the corner and be a team that competes for four quarters and can put it together, or they're going to fold like a cheap tent and get run off the field. And it's going to be a really ugly game that I think kind of dooms the remainder of the season and sets a really bad tone for them going into ACC play.
Yeah, especially giving up 40 points a game. I mean, if you've done right. that in your first two games, and you're 100% right, because Bronco Mendenhall is that West Coast guy. He's brought this team along slowly, and they've come. You know, they've recruited extremely well. They've gone into South Florida and done well. They've done in the D.C. area, which has always been a lifeline to them. And you're 100% right. I mean, this is a program that is hungry, and a signature win, whether FSU is 1-1 or not, would be against a team like Florida State, because I mean, you know as well as I do, Miami went in, you know, it's been a long time since Miami's relevant, but yet wherever they go, people are always, you know, wanting to beat Miami because of Miami's reputation. Florida State's got the same reputation, national champions, whether it be Jimbo or Bobby, they've always produced kids. You look on Sundays and now see a lot of guys like Brian Burns and people like that. So obviously it's a signature win for Virginia, but at the same time, this could be the game that could give Florida State the confidence to go up there and to play a game and to come away with a win.
Yeah, and they followed up with two games that are winnable. Louisville, while Satterfield's a great coach,
right.
They're depleted of some talent and they're going to have some issues this year, even though they did look pretty good against Notre Dame, especially for a half. And then NC State's not the NC State that they've been the last couple years. They're still a very talented bunch. Dave Doran's doing a good job with them. But they're a team that, you know, you can compete with the talent that FSU has on their roster.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's very weird covering FSU right now. FSU could go 3-0 in their next three games, or they could go 0-3, and neither would really surprise me a great deal. 3-0 would probably surprise me simply because I think UVA is pretty talented and ready for prime time. But it's not above the realm of possibility for FSU to go in there and have some success in Charlottesville.
Good stuff. Chris Nee joining us as he does. Appreciate it, Chris. We'll check in with you and see what's happening in a couple of weeks.
All right, Blue. Take it easy.
You too. Good stuff. Chris Nee joining us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.